On tonight's show, we have got a Bet on Sports Player of the Week that features a career accomplishment in the Sun Belt.
Also got some breathtaking numbers on that. We also have a Rivalry Week wrap-up. Got to make sure you say that three times fast. We got the things that may have us scratching our head and pulling our hair.
And we have got a championship preview. We've got all the championship previews. All of the Group of Five conference championships this weekend.
We crowning the king this week.
Drop a beat. On the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money.
Big water slides, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know, what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Welcome in to another exciting episode of the Bitch Boys podcast. I'm Colin Cahill.
I'm Thomas Gleaton.
And we are the Bitch Boys. Quick disclaimer, no live turkeys were hurt in the recording at all last week.
Yeah, if you, if you don't know what we're talking about, go ahead and just, first of all, hit the subscribe button so you get every single new episode so that you know what we're talking about as soon as we talk about it because you listen to us every week. And the second, after you've hit subscribe, go back and listen to last week's episode. We did some fun stuff with that.
Fun stuff. Man, Thanksgiving was really good.
It was.
I had plenty of turkey.
Did.
Mashed potatoes, crushed it.
Yep.
Carbs, I had those down.
I slept like a baby. Like a full baby.
That's what you're supposed to do on Thanksgiving. Yep. Is just catch up on your sleep. So, but no, exciting week of Sunbelt action this past week. A lot of big time in-state games.
Stayed awake long enough to watch the Rivalry Week. So let's get to our Rivalry Week wrap up. Ha, I did it. I did it again.
There you go.
Rivalry Week wrap up and out of the gate.
Out of the gate.
UConn gave up 666 points this year.
That's notable.
Troy only gave up 418. We all think Troy's defense is bad. UConn gave up over 250 points more. That's bad. Like, that's really bad. I am so, I think UMass is right up there, too, in really bad defenses as well.
They are.
Like, UMass and UConn were, like, fighting for who can give up the most points this season. And it was really, really close. I'm trying to find UConn here. They're in the American, right, still, this year?
As of right now, yeah.
Okay, let's see.
He's looking that up... out of the gate, we're doing our Rivalry Week wrap up. That's fun. That's hard, and that's fun to say. So we're basically looking back at this. He went back, Colin over here, he went back and looked at his preseason predictions, y'all. Ooh,
yeah.
It wasn't terrible, except he picked Akron to beat Troy. Now, I'm going to let you have a second to stop laughing, but... Akron. Anyway.
They're predictions for a reason. Didn't people pick, like, wasn't there some guy who picked Baylor to win the Big 12 championship a couple years ago? They went like 1-11.
Probably.
Isn't that like a thing?
Probably. But anyway, Akron is worse than UConn.
Actually, I stand corrected. UMass literally is the worst defense.
Really?
UMass has given up 632 points this year.
Where's Akron on that?
Akron has given up.
Probably not too far, honestly.
Akron, 435.
Oh, wow. Only gave up 435?
Went 0-12. Gave up 400.
How many points did they score?
126.
Oh. They literally scored.
They scored 67.
10.5 points a game.
They scored 67 points in 8 conference games. 67.
That's just more than 8 points.
Just mind you. So I guess UConn's defense wasn't actually as bad as what I thought it was. They've only given up 486 points, which still bad.
Yeah, that's awful.
I think I'm trying to really find. I think right now early search results. Troy, I think, is the only team in the country. or one of few teams, like you could count them on a hand, that scored over 400 points and ended the season with a losing record, which is...
It's hard to do.
Shocking.
Yep.
But no, I mean, interesting things. Just you know, I guess we're just doing a quick overview. Some things that caught my eye.
Yeah.
And we tweeted out about this, specifically Troy and Ark State. You know, basically kind of all year long, we've been comparing those two, especially offenses. Like, Ark State is Troy with a better receiving core. Troy is Ark State with, I mean...
Without Omar Bayless.
So Ark State scored 404 points on the season. Troy scored 406 points on the season. Ark State gave up 418 points. Troy gave up 417 points.
Yeah, that's a difference of like 3 points across the board.
One of those teams is 7-5 going to a bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
One of those teams beat South Alabama. One of those teams didn't beat South Alabama.
Yeah.
And one of those teams is 5-7.
And sitting home.
And probably not going to a bowl game.
Mm.
About 99.95%. But there's those crazy people that think the Birmingham Bowl is going to come calling, but I don't.
No.
Yeah, that was just some things that came out to mind. You know, we were talking about Akron and their bad offense. They only scored 126 points. South Alabama and Texas State, 159 points for Texas State, 154 points for South Alabama.
On the season?
Well, that would have been in conference.
Oh,
yeah.
In conference. Okay.
On the season, they were at 221 each. They both tied with the same amount of points scored on the season. They were the only two teams not to eclipse the 300 points plateau in the entire conference. Everybody else was 350 and up, actually. But Georgia Southern had 350 points.
Exactly.
Yep, exactly.
That's funny.
Yep. They gave up 343. Georgia State, 389. The two, surprise, surprise, best offenses, scoring offenses in the conference reside with the two teams that are going to be in our championship in the Sun Belt this week, and that is UL with 466 and App State with 467. That close. And it's not as close in points allowed. Louisiana has allowed 214 points. App State, 225 points allowed.
Yeah, I mean, that's still close.
But the crazy stat, in conference, they have both allowed the same exact amount of points. 131 in conference.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So App State scored a little bit more points in conference, 315 to Louisiana's 281.
Basically 12 points a game.
Yep.
Giving up 12 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, what was the score? What was the bottom, the lower one, and the amount they scored?
466 and 467.
466 and 467. That's like...
They're averaging 39.8 and 39.7 points a game.
Yeah, so it's basically 40-12.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's basically what happened this past weekend when App State beat Troy 48-13.
Mm-hmm.
So
right on their season target.
Yep.
So it is easy, and we're going to get into the championship preview here in a little bit, but we tweeted about it. It's easy to say 1A, 1B. That's these two teams. We've been saying it for weeks. These are the two best teams in the conference. It's going to be one heck of a game. Again, basically, what is it, round three at this point?
Well, yeah, if you include last year's game.
Yeah.
And the thing is that from the beginning we said I think last year Louisiana was the dark horse to me, but this year I specifically remember saying, you know, this team is going to do it again this year. I don't see a reason for anybody to beat them. Arkansas State came very close in a couple matches, but Louisiana is just incredibly good this year.
Oh, yeah. Really
props
good.
To them for winning 10 wins
10
this
games,
year.
First time
10
ever.
10 games this year. Let's get into some of the games from last week.
Yeah, let's start Black Friday. I remember in our last episode, you quoted it as being Blackout Friday because South was going to get blacked out by Ark State. Well, whoa. Well,
yeah.
we both actually predicted that.
I
should have stuck to my final predictions because my best prediction of the year was I actually predicted Arkansas State to lose to South Alabama way back in August when I went down the entire schedule. But somehow, some way, South Alabama
They managed to pull out the win the last game in last Ladd game Stadium. Ever.
I like their little thing. You know, they won the first game in Ladd, won the last game in Ladd. You know, that's keep it to that. Don't tell anybody about what happened in between. Just keep it to those games. Like, that's all you got to do for your recruiting trail. But no, incredible game for South. We talked about it. Desmond Trotter, man. This is a freshman. This is a freshman coming in here. 20 of 31, 279 yards passing, 4 touchdowns and an interception. And then he throws on 60 yards rushing added to that. You got to wonder. You just got to wonder how much more competitive this team would have been
with him,
with this kid
instead of Cephas.
Instead of Cephas Johnson.
I was the biggest Cephas fan.
We both were. I was really on his bandwagon 2 years ago, like when we first started doing this podcast.
Right, so was I. Yeah.
I didn't see anything out of him the entire year last year. I wasn't as like, oh my God, this is the kid this year.
But then I was.
Yeah.
And I was like, give him one more year. He'll be fine. He'll grow. Obviously not. Uh-huh. Like, Desmond Trotter has got to be their go-to in the future.
Oh, well, he's definitely the guy. I mean, this team, I mean, this is the win that I was talking about 3 weeks ago when I thought they were going to beat Georgia State, and they didn't do bad against Georgia State.
Yeah.
But this is the win that you hold on to as a South Alabama fan, and you just hold on and you remember this. And thank God it's the last game of the year because that's your most recent game.
Yep. So they're going to hold on to that for the entire year.
This is it. I mean, you held them to 30 points. Solid.
Yeah.
I mean,
you held Omar Bayless to less than 100 yards.
Omar Bayless, well, it was close. 4 receptions, 98
Look,
yards.
They held him under 100, daggummit.
Unfortunately, they have another wide receiver in Kirk Merritt.
Well,
who had 121. But still, you held him under, you only held him to one touchdown catch, and it was an insane grab. Made ESPN top 10. But we're going to go to the stats here. I mean, yes, they had 340 yards passing, but the thing is you kept them off the scoreboard, which is what you're supposed to do. You also had 26 first downs on your side of the ball, which means you were keeping the ball. This is the craziest stat, I think, right here. 4 of 4 on fourth down for South Alabama. They didn't care. Everything's in the basket. I mean, you're opening the playbook. You're going for it. Four conversions on fourth down. You go 100% on fourth down.
1 in 10 team. I do remember saying this last week. I do remember saying that I would not be surprised because South Alabama has nothing left to lose. And they didn't. They clearly just threw caution to the wind.
Basically.
Let's stay on those stats because we both have our player of the week, our Ben on Sports Hustle Award winners right here in this game on the same team, on the same side of the ball even.
Yeah, same side of the ball. This is amazingly. I know you're going to pick. My guy, I picked because your guy's kind of young. This is like his second year, I think, at South. My guy's been there for the last 4 years. He's been working his tail off for the last 4 years. One of the senior leaders, Trey Minner, first ever running back in South Alabama history to eclipse 1,000 yards in a season. Incredible feat for him. I mean, when you see his name, it's his name. There's no other name on that list. It is Trey Minner, 1,000-yard running back. Nobody else. And for you to be the only guy to have 1,000 yards, I read something really interesting. Ole Miss, in 120 years of their existence, Ole Miss has had 8 1,000-yard running backs.
Eight.
Another crazy stat that was along with that, Wisconsin, they've had 8 1,800-yard rushers in their existence. Yeah. Pretty crazy stuff. But for South Alabama, a 10-year-old program at this point, right? They started in 2009, so this is 10 years, right? So 10-year-old program, finally have their first ever 1,000-yard running back, Trey Minner. Great guy. We interviewed him earlier in the year at Media Day. I really think, because he's a senior, I think he gets to go to one of the senior bowls. I don't think he necessarily gets into the Senior Bowl here in Mobile, but I think he goes to one of the postseason bowls where he's going to show off. I mean, he's that good of a player. We were talking about him last week. He's top 5, top 10 in the country in all-purpose yards because he gets a lot of kick returns. But hey, you are part of the game. You're making an impact on the game in all aspects of the game as a running back, and that's what Trey Minner did. I know last week I picked Trey Barnett. I'm on the Trey train. Trey Barnett had the 2,000 yards in his career. Trey Minner gets 1,000 yards rushing. this season. So Trey Minert, my Been On Sports player of the week.
So I'm going to take a step back here. I'm going to go ahead and give you the spiel I was going to give you.
Step back.
Jalen Tolbert, the wide receiver on South Alabama's roster.
Mobile Alabama product.
McGill Toolin, I think you said.
McGill Toolin, yes, sir.
144 yards. He had five catches on Saturday, Friday.
Five. For 144.
Five for 144. So let's do the math on that real quick. That's a lot.
That's almost 30 yards of reception.
Almost 30 yards of reception.
28 and a half.
Of his five catches, four of them were touchdowns.
Five catches, four touchdowns?
Yeah. So the one catch, he didn't go for touchdowns. A little bit of a letdown.
Come on, kid.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a step back.
Okay.
Because I completely forgot about this, and it literally just came down like hours before we started recording.
Oh.
Jalen Tolbert deserves the Hustle Award of the Week. I was going to give it to him.
Oh.
But I can't anymore.
Oh.
Because Troy has an All-American.
That's fine with me.
I'm changing it up.
But how did he do this week, though? That's my question.
All right, let's find out.
Because we're strictly talking about this week, accomplishments this week, right?
You're just trying to twist it.
I mean,
it is an accomplishment he got this week.
It is an accomplishment he did get this week.
How about this? 8 solo tackles, 2 okay. tackles for loss. That's all he did. He did it against App State.
He had 13 total tackles. That's good.
Yeah,
that's
8 good. Solo tackles. My bad.
There you go.
But look.
There wasn't much stopping that App State defense, I can tell you that.
No. He was a freshman All-American.
Yes.
And now he's a sophomore All-American.
Okay.
I don't know if I can think of any other, off the top of my head, I can't think of any other Troy players who were more than one, an All-American more than once.
Was Marcus Jones pretty close?
He was a freshman All-American.
Yeah, but he didn't.
I don't think he made it the second year.
I don't think he did. He was special teams All-American, too. He wasn't actually a defensive All-American.
Well, I mean, it's still.
He was kick returner. I mean, yeah.
He was a freshman All-American. He wasn't. I don't think he was a full time. I don't think he was the stop, full stop All-American.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm just. Yeah, I had to play with it. Give him some credit because,
ladies and gentlemen, there is too much Troy in his blood.
There is.
I'm going to let y'all know right now that we could not have that much South Alabama love.
I couldn't. I got itchy.
That's the Troy coming out.
But no, let's go back to the game real quick. So yeah, South upset, just an incredible game, had me scratching my head. Another one that had me pulling my hair is this ULM game against Louisiana. Louisiana has 10 wins. They almost had 9. I think we both were just like chewing our fingernails and were upset. I was more upset about this than I was upset about the Iron Bowl.
Well, we both picked UL, right? Like we both picked Louisiana. Yeah, we both picked Louisiana to win the game. But how many times this year has it come down to ULM just making a field goal? They also missed an extra point, mind you, leading up to this. That would have tied the ball game.
That's at least twice, including FSU. That's at least twice this year. But it's a bookend of the season because they just about started the year with FSU. And now they're ending it by missing a field goal and losing to Louisiana. Yeah. Props to the kicker because, I mean,
it's a tough job. We saw it on the national stage this week.
Yeah, we saw it on the national stage. We saw it on the professional stage with Young Hoku.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out to Georgia Southern pulling off 3 straight off onside kicks for the Falcons.
The Georgia Southern kicker, yeah.
So it's a difficult job and just...
It's a lonely job, I will say that. But no, you feel for that kid, especially because ULM, they were the last chance for us to have 6 bowl teams. Obviously, they're trying to get to a bowl, just get to 6-6. And then, obviously, to beat in-state foe... but no, I mean 31-30, incredible game, kind of back and forth action. I think UL had a decent lead in the game. If I can check in here,
I believe they did.
I mean, well, it was really back and forth. I mean, it was 14-14, 21-21, 28-20. I mean, it was a back and forth game. It was an in-state battle. That's what you expect to get. You throw out records. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you got a UL team that comes in averaging 39 points a game and just beat the brakes off of a Troy team the week before. It doesn't matter. You throw the records out the window, and that's what happened in this game. I mean, you look at stats, UL had 570 yards of total offense. 570. What the heck happened to Troy? Like, this is a UL Monroe team that had 240 yards rushing, 330 through the air.
I got nothing.
Like, it's inexplainable what happened to Troy the week before.
It's irritating, honestly.
Louisiana had 522 yards of total offense, 270 through the air, 252 on the ground. So, I mean, both these offenses are going back and forth. UL just under 50% on third down. Here's another one. They almost did it as good as South. Louisiana, 3 of 4 on fourth down conversions.
It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Between the two of them, they're 7 of 8.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... But what? As Troy fans are just pulling their hair at this point, wondering how in the heck did they only manage 3 points against a team that just gave up 30.
And they almost won.
And they almost won. So yeah, what a crazy battle in Louisiana. Obviously, Louisiana gets to 10 wins. First time ever in history of that illustrious program, they get to 10 wins. Billy Napier, I wouldn't wrap the Coach of the Year talks up yet with Eli Drinkwitz. He's got it, I think, right now. But Billy Napier, it could almost be a 1A, 1B in Coach of the Year.
That's how it ends up. Like, we got to this point.
I mean,
is how good these coaches are.
These two coaches right now, the coaching staffs. I don't think it's just the coaches; it's the staffs. Napier's got a really good staff with him right now. Drinkwitz, his staff might not be as familiar with each other as Napier's, because Napier's been together for, I think this is year 3, maybe 4 for them,
something like that.
I think that's what gives Napier the edge in the Coach of the Year discussion, is just how this staff was kind of meshed, put together, like, in what, about 4 months, and they've managed to keep the nucleus of App State together and doing what they continue to do, which is to roll teams.
Better than Scott Satterfield ever did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they ever had an 11-win season, right?
No.
Well,
it might have been 11-2.
It might have been 11-2, but they've never gone 11-1.
No.
Ever. Uh-huh. So, just an incredible, back to Louisiana, just incredible finish to the season. The 10 wins, to have two teams again. Last year we had 3 teams with 10 wins in the Sun Belt. This year we have 2. It just says again that this league is getting better, I think. And the greatest thing is that they're in 2 different divisions. Like, they're each at the top of each division. We're going to see another 10-round fight this Saturday. I mean, that's what we're going to see. So let's talk about the other team, App State. We're going to go back to Black Friday. And you talked about getting blacked out. Troy blacked out. Troy got blacked out. They went blackout, basically, except with
such
the chrome,
beautiful uniforms,
with the chrome domes, and went for nothing. Basically, just abysmal, really. I mean, Troy. Still 300 yards passing for Troy, but you had Cade Young came into the game, of all people. That was the shocker, I think, for us Troy fans, is that you didn't see a Gunnar Watson in the game. You saw a Cade Young.
What? In his defense, it was senior week.
Oh, is he a senior?
He is a senior.
Oh, okay, I didn't realize he was a senior.
Cade Young is a senior.
It says he's a junior, but he must be a
redshirt. No. The Troy posted on their Twitter account that day he was a senior.
He was a senior. Okay.
Cade Young is a senior Troy quarterback that basically never got playing time.
Yeah, he was always like third string, basically.
Exactly.
I mean, he sat behind Sawyer Smith. He sat behind Gunner Parker. I mean, he sat behind Gunner, just kind of a career kind of backup type of
guy.
So
he deserved he made 3 completions for 23 yards. He deserved every single one of them.
Oh, yeah. That was good
for
him.
So he had some sort of career.
Yeah. I mean, Barker, though, 281, again, almost gets 300 yards passing. But this is the shocking, no touchdowns. No touchdown passes for Caleb Barker.
1 touchdown rushing from DK Billingsley.
Yeah.
His long was a 9-yard, so it had to be a 9-yard touchdown rush.
But App State, I mean, it goes back. I mean, they basically did whatever they wanted. 27 first downs, 10 of 13 on third down. 10 of 13.
Okay, but what about that fourth down?
They didn't have to go for it on fourth down. You want to know why? Because they were converting on third down literally all night long. 328, 194 on the ground. I mean, this was better coaching staff, better team, better execution.
Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
Papa John's. We're not sponsored by Papa John's because...
But if you're listening...
That guy's kind of weird. I don't know if we want to be... Apparently, he ate 40 pizzas in 30 days.
That's literally just eating nothing but pizza for dinner for 30 days.
Like, did you see that interview? It was a crazy interview.
No, I didn't. But let's get back to football.
Yeah, get back to football. App State, though, puts an exclamation point on an incredible season. 11-1, two Power 5 wins. I'm gonna jump into the black hole. The black hole is, can they make the Cotton Bowl?
Oh, my goodness. So
sorry, not jumping into the black hole. They are not going to go to the Cotton Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry.
The problem with this is that they are number 20. The number 19 team is Cincinnati. The number 18 team is Memphis. And those two teams play each other on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Number 19 and number 18 play each other on Saturday.
There's
no way for Appalachian State to jump the two of them unless they absolutely pummel Louisiana. And that is not going to happen.
Well, here's the thing. In the CFP, they're 25 in the CFP.
You're right. I'm going by AP.
In the CFP, it's 18-19, Memphis, Cincinnati, just like you said. And then at 20 sits Boise State, who plays Hawaii in their championship. Boise State's not going to lose that game.
No.
It's going to take a miracle. It's going to take an act of God.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
I know.
But
I know. We still got to talk about that. But that's... A huge, there's so much that has to happen for them to even be included in the conversation, and I just don't think they're going to jump any of the two teams out of the Memphis-Cincinnati game, because whoever wins that game is going to get...
It's going to stay right there.
It's going to stay right there. I mean, yes, Memphis is the team with the one loss, and so they're all thinking, okay, well, Cincinnati, if they win, they have two losses. Oh, we should jump them because we only have one loss. Well, sorry. The American is just a better conference this year. They've had a tougher schedule. It's going to come down to that.
And even if you don't agree with that, it's not up to you. It's up to the playoff committee.
It's up to the playoff committee. And unfortunately, that's how it's going to fall. I hate to burst everyone's bubble, but that's just how it's going to fall. App State right now has a schedule on the year of, I think it's outside the 120. I mean, it's that bad of a schedule. And that's just because of they've played a lot of teams at home. I know they're two Power 5 wins. We're good Power 5 wins. But again, that's South Carolina, who I don't think is bowl eligible, and North Carolina team that is 6-6. So, yes, that's great wins. That's good wins on the road. But it's still not enough to beat a full conference schedule of what the American had this year,
no.
Which is unfortunate because this is one of the greatest seasons that any Sun Belt team has ever had.
Yes.
And we're still not going to be able to get to an NY6 bowl. But they're going to need a lot of help. You're going to need... I don't see...
App State is not in control of its own destiny.
No. That's about as simple as you can put it. They need a lot of help, and they are not in control of their own destiny. So, but incredible season for them. 11-1 is an incredible feat. They could definitely be 12-1. And if you think, I mean, we talked about Georgia Southern last week, how great it is for those Georgia Southern fans to be like, yep, we had that win.
And then on top of that, this past weekend... They went out with a bang and absolutely demolished Georgia State.
A bang.
We were talking about it last week. I think that last bowl slot goes to whoever wins that game. Honestly, the way Georgia Southern played in that game, and just because of the Dan Ellington injury, the state of Georgia State as a football team right now, I honestly think Georgia Southern is going to go to a higher bowl. I think Georgia Southern's not going to go to the Cure Bowl. Arkansas State is just lined up for that. And whenever somebody pointed out just how well that timeline works out and how well that storyline works out, mm-hmm. I can't shake that. But Georgia Southern could very well be going back to Montgomery. Georgia State could be headed out west as the team that draws the unlucky straw.
They very well could. I mean, let's get into the game. Georgia Southern did what they want to do, almost 300 yards rushing, 279 on 47 attempts. They held the ball for 33 minutes. No turnovers between each team. Here's the difference. Georgia State, 4 of 14 on third down. Could not sustain drives. I mean, they just couldn't. I mean, and I know you're doing it with probably a 10% Dan Ellington at this point. I mean, we're game 12. He's 3 weeks after an ACL surgery. He goes 18 of 27 for only a 180.
Now, that's not bad, though. You can win on that, but...
The real story is if you go down and look at their rushing.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, just nobody got...
Nobody got more than 54 yards
which
rushing.
So it's even more mind-boggling when you go back 3 weeks ago And Troy ran for what, 292 yards on him?
Yeah.
I mean, so it's like...
You go back a couple weeks ago, and we're talking about Trey Barnett and Destin Coates as the next big thing.
Yeah.
As the next big backs in mm-hmm. the Sun Belt. Mm-hmm. And they're not untalented. There's not a lack of talent there. That something happened on Georgia Southern that shut them down completely.
Troy running for 273 yards. Since then, Georgia Southern's just stopped everybody.
Yeah.
So... but no, just another big in-state win for Georgia Southern. That gets them to 7-5. Good season for Georgia Southern. And then finally, the game that Coastal Carolina thought maybe, just maybe, if we win this game, we might get a chance. But sorry, 5-7, you're done. Coastal Carolina goes over, or excuse me, Texas State comes into Conway, South Carolina. We're going to talk a little bit about South Carolina here, or excuse me. Conway, South Carolina, Coastal Carolina.
Okay.
Because today was not a good day for Coastal Carolina.
Why was that?
Not a good day at all. I'll get to that in a second. We're going to stay at the game here. Coastal Carolina, 22 first downs, 50% on third downs, kept the ball, kept the 40 minutes worth of possession for Coastal in this game, which is what they want to do. That's exactly what they want to do. CJ Marable, buck 21. There he goes again. And a touchdown. I mean, the guy, he's just right there. He's always at the 98 to 100-yard mark. I mean, it's just – he's always pulling it. Bryce Carpenter, 10 of 11 for 114 yards. Pretty solid. The Peyton guy, 7 of 11, 43 yards, touchdown. 24 to 21. Texas State finished the season 3-9. They just cleaned house on the offensive staff today. Bob Stitt, I want to say, he's
yes.
gone. Their tight ends coach, gone. Wide receivers coach, gone. Spavital has come out and basically said, doesn't matter who I'm hiring, I'm calling plays. And he goes, and it wasn't just a play calling that was the reason why I got rid of these three guys. There was a recruiting problem. We had problems with how we wanted to coach our players with these guys. And then play calling. I mean, those were the three things that were the problems with those three coaches. It wasn't just play calling. There were other things going on.
That, to me, sounds like...
And you figure that out.
He didn't hire the right people.
Well, I mean, you figure that out. I think
yeah.
he's a first-year head coach.
But, no, he knows what he wants to do.
Oh, yes, he definitely does. And if you're not on board, you're done. I mean, that's just how it is.
That's not a bad mentality for a head coach
to
have.
No, I think Chip Lindsey needs to take a page out of that.
Oof. Oof.
I really...
Whoa. Well, spicy take alert.
I don't think it's a spicy take. I think everybody and every single Troy fan wants the same thing to happen to the defensive side of the ball. I think offensive side of the ball, with the exception of the last two games, clicked the entire year. I mean, they clicked. But the defensive side of the ball was a joke the entire year. And the last two games, pitiful. I mean, pitiful. 53 and 48 over the last two games of what you allowed and just got ran out of stadiums. That's pitiful. And if you're going to be a head coach, and this is what happens. First-year head coaches, he's never been a head coach at the collegiate level. He's been an offensive coordinator. He's been an analyst. He learned a lot this year. And he learned that no matter how great his offense is, you got to have a defense. Even in the Sun Belt, you got to have a defense. Because as we said earlier about they put up 400 points, but they gave up 418, and they're the only team in the entire conference to allow 400 points and not have a winning record, you got to have a defense. If you want to get to a bowl game, you got to have some sort of a defense. And he learned that. And I think my personal opinion, I've heard some rumblings, but I there's going to be a change. I'll go out there and state that. I would be shocked if January 1st comes and there isn't a change. That's I would be shocked. So we'll see what happens with Troy here, but did you have anything to say?
No, I was just going to say, I'm not going to claim to know anything. I don't think anybody this side of the 334 needs to claim anything. And I don't think anybody who's not spending every waking moment in Tyne Davis Fieldhouse should be saying that.
I mean, I've heard just rumblings.
So?
Just rumblings.
I hear grumblings is what I hear. Not only because of that, but also because I'm hungry. You know who else is friggin' hungry? Tyler Vitt threw for 285 yards in this loss against Coastal. I got to give a special shout out to that. 23 of 33 for 285. That's literally 69%.
It's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
It's not bad for a Texas State quarterback. Considering what we told you about their offense this year.
Yeah.
But no, Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina, bad day for Coastal Carolina. real bad day. The transfer portal opened up basically today. Coastal Carolina had 10 players enter the transfer portal in one day.
Ooh.
Yeah, one day.
The last time I saw that was when Steve Campbell was hired at South.
Yeah. This was in one day, though. That was over like a 2 weeks.
Right.
This was just like a flood of guys. Ooh. And a couple of them were in the two deeps. There's some backup running backs that were in there, some defensive backs that were in there. But yeah, just you got to wonder what's going on in Conway, South Carolina right now. To have 10 guys jumping that into that portal, this is always the time of the year. I mean, over the next 2 weeks, you're just going to see every team.
Well, yeah, and like, it's early signing period.
That's coming
there
up.
There aren't very many restrictions on the transfer portal right now. You're going to have coaching staff changes. Mm-hmm. It's just the nature of the end of the season, and people get tired of what's going on. Things are going to change. Yep.
I think it'd be more rare to not be affected by the transfer portal right now.
Absolutely.
In any conference, any place, it would be astonishing if you didn't have anybody going.
Absolutely.
To that.
The good teams are going to have their backups leave for better opportunities. The bad teams are going to have their best players leave for better opportunities. I guess you'd have to be mediocre and have mediocre players that want to try to keep winning, and you just get lucky, I guess.
I mean, this is the point where you really see, especially coaching staffs, if players went to the school because of the coach, or if players
Absolutely.
Went to the school because they love the school.
Stepping outside the Sun Belt, talking about Matt Luke real quick. That if you haven't heard that story, basically he was in a recruit's living room when he got the notice that he was fired in Gadsden, Mississippi.
Yep.
That's a bit ridiculous.
A kid that was committed.
Yeah.
Like, committed to him. And he told me, he said, dude, just pray on it. Just stay with this. The coaching staff is still there. They haven't fired the coaching staff. They only fired me. So I know we've talked about the recruiting trail. And it's an 18-year-old. You don't know what they're going to do. You really don't. And but no, it's
volatile.
It's very volatile right now. So yeah, that was the week that was. Early this week. So, but with that, where are we going now?
Let's go into the future. Let's go to next week.
Best bets.
That's right. It's championship week.
We are in the future.
At this point.
We are futuristic.
In the show. Make sure you like.
Do like a cool thing with my voice at this point.
Like a roboto kind of thing?
Yeah, like a, you know.
In the future at this point. We are futuristic.
I don't know. You do whatever you want.
I'll figure it out.
You're the master of the mix. So App State and Ragin' Cajuns of Louisiana, round three basically of this. Last year they met in the championship game. Obviously a different Ragin' Cajun team. They were 7-5 going into that game. And App was the overwhelming favorite. This year, a 10-2 Ragin' Cajun team comes to Boone again. It's already snowing in Boone, North Carolina. As we saw some pictures earlier today, it's probably going to be snowing all week long. So it's going to be one fun game up in the snow up there. App State won the first matchup, 17-7.
Yep.
That was in Lafayette.
Yep.
To me, I think I picked Ragin' Cajuns that week. I don't know if we have those picks up or not. But since then, I mean, the Ragin' Cajuns still do what the Ragin' Cajuns do, and that's run the ball. They got a three-headed horse. Elijah Mitchell leads the team just over 1,000 yards. They still have Trey Regis back there. I mean, we know what they do. They run the ball. They're going to do what they do. We know who they are. What was that famous thing? They are who we thought they were. Was that? I think that was the famous
line.
That
was it. They are who we thought they were. They are who we thought they were.
There you go. Like we were saying earlier, the points to me is crazy. The fact that they've given up the same amount of points in Sun Belt play is wild. Only 131 points is just wild. And then the fact that total, they're only 1 point off in total points scored over the season is crazy. I mean, you put it down on paper, and when you look at scoring offense, scoring defense, they're like neck and neck. I mean, UL, 38.8 points. App State, 38.9 points. UL, 17.8 points allowed. App State, 18.8 points. So, I mean, they're just right there. There's a little bit of difference in the yardages in the game. Ragin' Cajuns coming in averaging 500 yards a game. App State, 437. a little bit less. But then you go App State on the defense. They're only allowing 320 yards a game to Louisiana's 370. So they kind of make up for it right there. I mean, things even out. Like, one might be a little bit better, just a little bit better, not too much. But then they catch back up in another category. So right now, spread, App State getting 6 points. So they get 3 points extra for being at home. So basically, it's about a three-point game at this point if it was on a neutral field. Both teams are, I mean, App pretty much rolling ever since. I mean, they beat South Carolina. I mean, ever since the loss to Georgia Southern, they beat South Carolina, and then they just rolled everybody. I mean, literally everybody. 19-point win at Georgia State, 22-point win at Texas State, 35-point win at Troy. And then Louisiana kind of the same. 10-point win South, 50-point win over Troy. And then this past week, obviously a very close game against UL. But still, the offenses were rolling. So, but here's the thing. I think I like Eli Drinkwitz. I like him too much in these games. He's played the big games and he's won the big games this year. With the Raging Cajuns, they had that first big game at the start of the year that they lost to Mississippi State, and then they lost obviously to App State already. I think Eli Drinkwitz has a better game plan coming into this, and I'm going to go App State with the home field advantage. And I think it's going to be one heck of a game though. Like I think it stays within 6 points the entire game.
I think I agree with you with App State. I think that there's nobody. I don't think there's anybody this side of Lafayette who would go against that pick.
Other than Statesboro.
Well, yeah, you're right. Fair enough. But I don't think it's going to be as close as you think it is. I think there's going to be something about it. I think we all want it to be that close.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all the stats are, everything's pointing toward it being that close. But that gives me enough pause to say I don't think it's going to be as close as we thought it was. 17-7 is a close game. It's a tough, difficult game. But App State still won by 10 points. App State is still balanced. They still do what they want. And if ULM can do what they want against App State, against Louisiana, then App State should be able to do what it wants against Louisiana. I'm going to go with App State as well, but I'm going to start taking more points toward App.
Okay. That's fine with me.
Just for purposes' sake, Louisiana's record is 10-2. App State's is 11-1. They literally have one loss each
mm-hmm.
that's not between them.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi State and Georgia Southern.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine how close Louisiana came to being on the other side of the ball right now. Let's head up north. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Let's head up to the MAC.
Oh,
right
we got
now.
Some action. The Marathon MAC Championship. I have no idea where this game's held. It might be held in Central Michigan. It might be held in Detroit. It's in Detroit. Okay, yeah, that's right. I always thought it was at Detroit where the Lions play, right?
Is
that north? Okay, so yeah, Central Michigan, Miami, Ohio. The only thing I know about Miami, Ohio is they played Iowa early in the year, and Iowa pretty much beat the crap out of them. But then Central Michigan, they played Wisconsin early in the year, and Wisconsin shut them out 61-0. But here's the difference. Central Michigan got an offense. Central Michigan, did they not play? Was that Western Michigan that played Georgia State?
Yes, Michigan played Georgia State.
Well, Central Michigan, they've scored 38 or more points since in every game since October 5th.
Wow.
So that would be 7 games.
They've 38 points.
38 points or more in every game.
That's 266
Buffalo,
points.
Buffalo, they only scored 20, but every other game, 38 points or more. They're 6-1 in that span. The only loss was to Buffalo. So if they score more than basically 30 points, they win the game. And that's kind of how it is the entire year. If they score more than 30 points, they win the game. And all their losses, 0 to Wisconsin, 12 to Miami, 15 to Western Michigan, and 20 to Buffalo. So the magic number, 30 points. They're going to do that because they are on a roll. Since November, they scored 40 points in every game in November. 48, 45, and 49. That's what they've scored. I'm going to go Central Michigan in this one. I just like them. They're led by, what's his name, Quentin Dormandy, senior, 13 touchdowns, but then they've got a really good running back in Mr. Ward. What's his name? Jonathan Ward, 1,000 yards, and then they got a wide receiver who's got almost 800 yards receiving on the year. Too much offense for Central Michigan. I think they roll. They're a 6.5-point favorite right now. So I'm going to go Central Michigan.
I'm going to agree with you on that. Just looking at the records, Miami is 7-5. CMU is 8-4. These are literally the two worst records in these championship group of five championship games. And I think that's pretty obvious, like, evidence that the MAC is just not the best conference in
not this year
college football right now.
No, and then just how bad they've been in bowls.
So I'm going to go with Central Michigan as well. I think that if Iowa can do it, I think Central Michigan can roll all over the Miami Redhawks.
Iowa to Central Michigan. Okay, let's move down to Conference USA.
Works for me.
It's another Alabama team. It is UAB and a Bill Clark coach team still. He's still the coach at UAB as of this recording.
Against
another team with
Joey Freshwater himself.
Joey Freshwater, who is still the coach of FAU at this point of this recording.
Yes.
He has been heard to be on planes in Arkansas.
Or people have been on planes to see him.
One way or another, he's involved with some. Both of these two head coaches could be head coaches in the SEC next year.
Like a G6.
Yes, there you go.
Like a G5. Or anyway, you get the joke.
There you go. UAB, kind of a weird. I was reading stuff about Southern Miss, how the rules changed, but Southern Miss kind of lost that game, so it didn't really matter.
So, yeah, basically the tiebreaker was leaning towards Southern Miss.
And then
because they hadn't been to the championship most recently.
Yeah.
And those are the rules that had been in place all season long. Mm-hmm. And then at the last minute, the Conference USA is like, oh, we're not going to use that system anymore. Mm-hmm. And obviously the favoritism there, the likeliness shifted away from Southern Miss, which is kind of unfair to pull this crap this late in the year.
Yeah, a lot of Southern Miss people were not happy about that.
And they should have been.
Oh, rightfully so.
However, they absolutely just did not show up in the game against Florida Atlantic.
Nope.
Well, I say that. They scored half the points Florida Atlantic did. But 34-17 is not a good score to lose by. For that reason, I'm going to go with Florida Atlantic. For other reasons, I'm going to go with Florida Atlantic because I don't like UAB. But both teams are 9-3 this year. Both teams are rattling off a 5 or 6 game win streak so far. They're two pretty solid programs, and I think you're right. I think the two coaches in this game could be somewhere else this time next year.
Oh, for sure. It's going to be interesting how it plays out. They did not meet in the regular season at all, which is, you know, it's fun because you really have nothing to base other than basically just, oh, well, they beat this team by this much, they beat that team by that much. Coming into the game, UAB definitely has the better defense. They're only giving up 18 points a game, which is pretty solid. 269 yards of total offense. That's what they give up. It's pretty solid. 177 through the air, 92 on the ground. They do not let you run the ball at all at UAB. But the problem is they just don't score. The 25 points a game, that's it.
Southern Miss absolutely blanked them. Southern Miss didn't, like, they did not score any points against Southern Miss. Southern Miss scored the safety.
Yeah, Southern Miss won that game 37-2. That was that game. But since that game, 37-10, 20-14, 26-21, nail biters for UAB.
Yeah, low scoring.
Yeah, very low scoring nail biters for UAB. FIU, on the other hand.
FAU.
Excuse me, FAU, sorry. It's the fighting, the lane trains. 34-17, 40-26, 37-7, 35-24, 41-3.
A little bit more offense there.
Just more offense. That they're just their quarterback disparity, difference. Their guy has 3,000 yards passing. Tyler Johnston, who's also from Spanish Fort, another 251 guy, just has under 2,000 yards passing. So the offense just isn't as explosive at UAB, but their defense makes up for it. Problem is, I think the Lane Train, if he does coach in this game, if he makes it to Saturday, which I'll be shocked if he does because there's a lot of rumblings going around that he might be the next Arkansas head coach. If he does coach in this game, I'm going to pick FAU. If he doesn't and Bill Clark is there, I'm going to pick UAB.
Okay, but you got to put one down.
I know. So I'm going to go FAU.
Okay.
But I just want to let the record show.
If Lane
basically
Kiffin,
whichever team has their coach left going into Saturday
is going to win.
That's who's going to win.
Okay. I think I can honor that.
Okay.
I think I'll be fair with honoring that.
Okay.
All right. Let's head out west to the Mountain West. We got literally the mountains and literally the west in Hawaii at Boise State.
Man, we're geographically right in this, this podcast.
Hey now. Boise State's 11-1. Sneaking under the radar there being 11-1. I wasn't even paying attention to them.
You kind of forgot about them, didn't you?
Yeah, I honestly did. Yeah. Just because of the game that we'll get to in like 2 seconds. But like, Boise State, 11-1. Boise State, winningest program in college football history. They have the best win percentage of any college football program. Best, period. Like, they have a small amount of time.
I don't know Ohio State had that.
No, they beat Ohio State. They put that out this past weekend. It's because they don't have as many games played as Ohio State.
Okay.
Because that helps.
Because Ohio State just overtook Michigan this week.
And then Boise State overtook both of them.
Huh.
So.
Well, that's amazing.
It is.
I do know they did lose back in October 19th to BYU, but they did not have their starting quarterback as Hank Bachmeier is their normal starting quarterback. He was not playing in that game. They lost 28-25 to BYU. Mm. Since then, overtime win over Wyoming. That was the closest game. Every other game, they've won by double digits basically the entire year, with the exception of Marshall and Florida State. 36-31 to Florida State, 14-7 to Marshall. Then everybody else has been a double-digit win, with the exception of the loss to BYU, and then the overtime win over Wyoming. But 42-9, 56-21, 31-24 is their last three games. They're rolling. They're rolling. So I'm going to go Hawaii. Or excuse me. I'm going to go Boise State.
I was about to say.
Yeah, fooled everyone there. I love Cole McDonald. Cole McDonald is fun to watch. I mean, the guy doesn't care. He's going to throw it all over the field, maybe to the wrong players. He doesn't care. He's still going to keep throwing the ball. Boise State, though, it's just too systematic. Brian Hansen is still there, and they're just too good. And I don't think we're going to get the chaos that App State wants. But if somehow it happens, would be amazing. This game, 3 p.m. Central Time. So that's like, what, 11 p.m. or 11 a.m. their time at that point? Is that Mountain Time? Like, maybe it might be. Might be
you
one.
Take hour time and might add 2 hours. It's might their time.
Yep. So one. So, yeah. No, I'm going to go Boise State in this one. 13.5, I think they cover.
I mean, I do too. I like Hawaii a lot. I really do. I love Hawaii, but they're just not going to pull through.
Man,
this
we're
one.
Real, like, agreeing on this.
Yep.
Aren't we?
So let's go to the American real quick. And we talked about it earlier, and we kind of gave it away there. Cincinnati, Memphis, they're right neck and neck. Basically,
they literally just played this past weekend.
They did. They're 8 days apart in these games. I literally looked up, and I was like, oh, crap, we picked them last week. So I picked the wrong way last week. I picked Cincy. So I'm going to pick Memphis this week just to balance things out. Both teams are 11-1. We already talked about it. Basically, the winner of this game is likely wrapping up the NY6 spot. Basically, whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. Memphis won by 10 last week. I really should probably stick with Cincinnati just because of the way that teams play against each other, and it's difficult to pull off a win. Like
A second time. Yeah.
But I really believe in Memphis. They've been rolling. They are the best group of five team, in my opinion, right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to change my pick. I hate that we're, like, agreeing on everything. But I Memphis is just too good. And I want to go perfect this week, and that's going to be the reason why I go perfect. They're averaging 41 points a game. They're just – and then they won last week's game by 10 points. I'm trying to find the stats here real quick. So, I mean, it was a fairly even game. Problem is, Cincinnati had 3 turnovers. That was the factor. Is Memphis got the turnovers when they needed them, and I just like Memphis. We have an assistant news director who's a Memphis grad. I've been talking to him for the past 2 weeks about it. He actually kind of told me, he goes, I kind of hope we lose because I don't want to go get blasted on national TV in an NY6 game. And I was like, dude, you got to have some faith in your team. He goes, no, dude, it's Memphis. And I was like, dang, man, you're being real pessimistic. But
that's a group of five fan for you.
Yeah, like, we'll talk crap all through the year. And then, oh, crap, we're going to get blasted by. Because they could very well play Alabama. That's who they might play in that game. So it could be Alabama. It could be Florida that they play. So
they have better odds against Florida. That's for sure.
Oh, Florida for sure. Now Alabama, even with how bad that defense is, that's going to be like a 65-60 game, like pretty much. So, but no, I'm going to have to go stick with Memphis. We agreed on literally everything. So we're either going to be all wrong or we're going to be all right.
Well, we got one more.
We have one more.
We got one more.
We technically have two more.
The granddaddy of, you're right. The granddaddy of them all, though.
The well, it ain't the Rose Bowl.
It's better. It's better.
Okay. All right.
It's the Army-Navy game.
It is the Army-Navy game. To me, when we talk rivalry games, got it right. When I don't think about it, I get it right. Yeah, that's right. I have a problem with saying that word. Not afraid to admit it. So when it comes to those type of games, I mean, we're in Alabama. Everybody goes crazy about the Iron Bowl. Everybody thinks the Iron Bowl is amazing. Everybody thinks Iron Bowl is the greatest rivalry ever, and there's no other game, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's a good game. But this game has only been a good game, like a series, a good series that's been back and forth, like, for how long? I mean, when Tubby Tuberville was there, Auburn won it, what, 7 straight years?
6.
6 straight years. Saban's been here. It's been a little bit back and forth now, but Saban still has the winning record. He's, what, 5-3 over the last 8 years, I think, in it. So, yeah, it's been back and forth. But when Tommy Tuberville was playing Alabama, they were on probation, I'm pretty sure, half the time, and then never had winning records the other half of the time. So, with the exception of these, I will give it to you. The last 10 years, this game has been a relevant game, and it has made it a worthwhile game. But in my opinion, it isn't the greatest rivalry out there. It's not, because it doesn't have the longevity. Hell, they didn't play for, what, 40 years?
Yeah.
In this game? So, the longevity of this series, that's my biggest factor, is it doesn't stand up with Army-Navy. It doesn't stand up with USC and Notre Dame. It doesn't stand up with Ohio State and Michigan. It doesn't stand up with Texas and Oklahoma. With over the, like, longevity of how many times the game has literally been 1-2.
Okay. You're talking about top-ranked teams playing each other.
Top-ranked teams and just relevancy when they play each other. There's been times, I mean, Ohio State and Michigan, for the last 10 years, that game has been a relevant game. Michigan has, I mean, they've been winning 8-9 games a year, I'm pretty sure. I mean, how many games did Auburn win, what, 2 years ago? 6? 7?
8.
Okay. But it didn't, with the exception of the last 10 years, it has really, what I'm trying to say here is, the last 10 years has helped that game so much. Because it was never viewed as a top 10 rivalry game, basically before Nick Saban got there. It wasn't. You go to a national scene, people in California couldn't give two craps about the Iron Bowl. But I guarantee you, people in California gave a damn about Ohio State and Michigan. It didn't have the national stage.
All right. Lord knows I don't want to defend either of those schools. But I have two counterpoints.
Okay.
Number one, 10 years ago, Alabama wasn't relevant.
2009, they won a national title.
Before Saban. That's what you said.
Yeah.
Before Saban, Alabama wasn't relevant.
Yes.
For a short amount of time.
They won didn't the last time they won a national title was in like 1993?
92.
So
from 92...
16 years of not being relevant.
Right.
That's a decade and a half.
Compared to how much they've won since and how much they won before.
I mean, they won a lot in the 70s with Bear Bryant?
And the 80s and the 60s and the 50s and the 40s.
They weren't like national title winners in every single decade. Bear Bryant won all of his stuff while he was there, and that was the 6 championships, correct?
60s, 70s, and 80s, yes.
Okay.
They won some in the 40s and the 30s and before that.
Okay, and what was Auburn doing? But again, they didn't play for 40 years between.
All right, and that leads me to my second counterpoint.
Okay.
Do you know why they didn't play for those 40 years?
I don't know. Was it something dumb? Like Al?
Yeah, it was dumb. Because they didn't want to play each other.
Yeah.
They hated each other so much that they canceled the game.
Were they not?
the state law required them to start playing again in order to get funding in 1949.
Okay. Well, that's great.
Yeah. They were forced to play each other. That's how much they hate each other. That's okay. A pretty good rivalry there.
Oh, I know that, but I don't think it's number one. And what I was trying to get to this game is I believe Army Navy is number one.
I agree with that.
I wasn't trying to be a dick. I was just trying to say Army Navy I think is the best rivalry game. This, and there's a lot more to it, just tradition and stuff. But I was just trying to point out that we live in Alabama and everybody thinks that everybody cares about Alabama and Auburn. You go to Iowa, go to Ohio, go to Michigan, go to any state in the Midwest, they couldn't give two craps about what happens in Alabama.
Well, yeah, because they not the same state.
Even in Georgia.
That's a whole location-based thing.
Okay, but if you're going to be, what I'm trying to say, if you go to Michigan, they'll tell you that, okay, yeah, Army-Navy, probably top three rivalry. If you go to that same state in Michigan, they aren't going to say Alabama-Auburn is in that top three. But they will say that Army-Navy is.
They'll say top three.
I still think they put Notre Dame and USC ahead of that.
Notre Dame and USC?
Yeah, that's a pretty
big rivalry. You want to talk about a game that has only been relevant for the past 10 years.
Why would you say that?
Because Notre Dame hadn't been relevant for nothing but the past 10 years.
Notre Dame was pretty good in the 80s and the 70s.
Oh, yeah. That's a 16-year difference.
Well, yeah.
16-year difference.
No, you're talking about Alabama being relevant. Man, we're getting way off topic.
Really are.
Okay, we're going to have this conversation off. Now you guys have all seen, and I can't wait to hear what you guys think about all this, especially all of our Alabama fans.
Oh, yeah.
But no, let's get back to the game.
The important one.
Army-Navy. It's like my favorite game, I think, to watch. Just because, one, I mean, I do have a grandfather. Both my grandfathers, actually. One was in the Army, one was in the Navy. But we weren't really a big military family. So I don't have... I'm not, like, ingrained. Like, oh, it's got to be Navy. Like, an only Navy. I grew up in Pensacola, which was a Navy town. So I kind of pull for the Navy. But it's not like... I just like watching it. The uniforms are always pretty freaking
They really
sweet.
Are.
Like, one they year are. They had the Blue Angel helmet, which was awesome.
I still want to get one of those jerseys.
Like, Army always does a really cool thing. Like, I think it matters now, this game. I'm pretty sure this is for the Commander-in-Chief trophy.
It is.
Because of just how, what Air Force has done.
Yeah.
Air Force is ranked, by the way. There's two in the AP poll, I think, if I'm not...
I want to say they are.
If I stand corrected, Navy and Air Force are both ranked, which is really cool. So yeah, this game definitely has a big factor in the Commander in Chief trophy. And I just like Navy in this one. We watched Army earlier this year against Georgia State, and Georgia State, obviously that was a healthy Dan Ellington, but Georgia State ended up winning that game. I don't think Army is as good as what they were last year when they had, I think they had 10 wins last year. I just like Navy. I can never pronounce his name, but the guy's been there for forever. He's a really good coach. It's just such a fun game to watch. I love the build up to it. They always have sweet, like, documentary stories they do about it. Like, you know, they have the under 150 game. I don't know if you ever heard about that. It's all the guys that have to stay under, it might be 160 pounds. And literally, so the lineman, 160 pounds. Everybody's under 160 pounds.
Sprint football.
Because of designation they have. They can't be 280 pounds because some of them might have to be a pilot or something like that. It might be 180, actually. But they do that game. They talk about that game. And then there's just stories on each side. And, I mean, you could go down the list and just find a story of any of these kids. And obviously for what they do, I mean, rarely do these guys make it to the NFL. I know Dobbs, a couple years ago, there was the big story about him trying to get where he didn't have to go immediately serve his 4 years because you come out an officer, obviously. And they were trying to get it where he could be drafted in the NFL draft. And so, but even that, like, they're like, nope, you got to go serve. I mean, you sign up to go serve. I mean, you get a free education basically going to here. Because you're about to go serve. So, but no, it's just the pageantry of the game is really cool. And I think it's fun to see the brigades come out, walk the field before. And I think it's in Philadelphia.
It is.
If I'm not wrong.
Liberty Field, Legion Field, not Legion Field.
It's where the Eagles play.
Yeah.
So it's just a fun game, and it, to me, it's my number one. It's the number one rivalry in my game, in my book, for me.
Well, I'm gonna agree with you on the pick. Navy's 9-2, Army's 5-7. It's just not. It's really one-sided this year. I don't think it's going to be, for it being the greatest rivalry, I don't think it's going to be the greatest game this week, this year.
Well, you know, Army, I think, has a two-game winning streak, maybe three in this series. And I know Navy had, like, the 15-game winning streak, which was snapped a couple years ago. But, like, that was the other thing. Whenever we were growing up, it was just Navy just always won.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it always was. And Army kind of flipped the script the last couple of years. And I think it's going to go. I think, just like what you kind of said, I think it kind of flips back to Navy this year as well. So, that's
our group of five.
That's the group of five championships.
Yep.
We have one more game to talk about.
We do.
It's not a championship, it's a playoff game.
It's a championship game.
I guess it's a championship game. You sure?
It counts. It's a game that leads to the championship.
I guess so. We're talking, obviously, about our favorite Division II football team.
Our favorite, of course.
Yeah, our favorite. I'm trying to pull up the bracket here. Division II football.
I'm not even going to write it down because I know which team we're both going to pick. So.
Well, yeah. Huge, huge win. Obviously, we're talking about the UWF Argonauts, who pulled off the upset of the year.
Absolutely.
Of the year.
They knocked number one Valdosta State out of the tournament.
Number one undefeated defending national champions Valdosta State off at Valdosta State. They went in to Valdosta, Georgia, beat them 38-35, scored with 6 seconds to go to win the ball game. They were up 24-7, UWF was. Valdosta State came all the way back, took the lead with about 2 minutes to go. UWF converted, I think, like two fourth down conversions on the final drive. It was fourth down for the game-winning touchdown pass. They end up winning 38-35. They play Lenoir Rhine. Yeah, that's right. The powerhouse Lenoir Rhine of Division II. I know all of you guys that are listening are like, oh, Lenoir Rhine, that's like Alabama, right? I'm like, yeah, it's basically the same thing. No. I'm going to go West Florida. They're on the road again. It doesn't matter. These guys are road dogs. They've already beaten the number four seed in their region. Then they beat the number one seed. Now, in the regions are 1-8.
Mm-hmm.
So they've beaten four. They're going to beat one. And now they play the number two seed. And you want to know what? I think they beat the number two seed on the road again. And they're going to go to the national semifinal in the Division II playoffs.
I think they do it. I agree with you. West Florida all the way. It 2 years ago, we said that I expect to see them back. Last year, they fell off the bandwagon. But this year...
Last year, they had a bunch of injuries. They were playing a fifth-string quarterback.
I remember that.
With about 5 weeks to go in the season. So
I do remember that.
It was ugly.
Things are a lot different this year.
Yep.
Things are looking up. And honestly, I'm going to go West Florida all the way.
They have two losses. One to Carson Newman, who was a 20th ranked team.
That was the beginning of the year.
Beginning
week
of the year.
One.
Week one.
By a touchdown.
Yeah. And then they lost to Valdosta State in the regular season, and they avenged that loss. So, I mean.
So it doesn't even matter, one of those losses.
They figured out how to beat them. So, and if they can beat Valdosta State was the best team in the country. They beat the brakes off everybody. And they just went out and beat the best team in the country. They can beat anybody. So
they really can.
I don't think it's a stretch to pick them to knock off Lenoir Rhine.
Nope.
So,
UWF. All the way.
All the way. Well, that is championship week. We aren't talking bowls this week. We're going to probably talk about those next week when we get figured out. And we're going to break down matchups next week probably because we should know by then. Because I think
Selection Sunday.
Yeah, Selection Sunday happens. So we'll record after that. We're going to know all those matchups. Five teams this year. We're so close to six.
I don't expect a 5-17 out of the Sun Belt to get it.
No, I don't think. Troy would be, I think, the only one, and the only reason why Troy would be it would just be because of their offense. Because Bulls want to see points scored.
Yeah.
Next year, if you have a 5-7 Coastal Carolina team, that might get into a home bowl game. You never know.
See, okay, we'll discuss
all
that. Yeah,
we talked about this about Montgomery.
Next week.
Same thing. Okay,
yeah.
So either way, five teams, heck of a year. Going to be one heck of a Sun Belt championship this Saturday. So you guys pay attention to that. Listen to us. Obviously, give us a follow on Twitter, @TheOGBenchBoys. I'm @ColinCahill. 13. He's at Thomas J. Gleaton.
No J.
Just Thomas Gleaton?
Just Thomas Gleaton.
Thomas Gleaton. You know, on anything?
Uh-uh.
Okay. So yeah, just search up Thomas
Gleaton.
I wouldn't
want my waiter to do it. I'm not going to do it to you.
There you go. So yeah, he's got great takes. I've got great takes sometimes, with the exception of picking Akron.
Yeah, that was just a doozy.
Real bad. So yeah, give us a follow.
Hit that subscribe button while you're at it. We're everywhere podcasts are found.
We're everywhere. Spotify, everything. So
your back door, like, let us in. It's cold outside.
That Ring doorbell.
Bring your plants in.
We're the ones that are triggering that.
Five peas.
Yeah. No turkeys were harmed this week.
As opposed to last week.
Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Now we're on to Christmas. I've already watched like 3 Christmas movies. Not afraid to...
We're probably going
to
queue up Elf tonight.
Dude, let me tell you something. Everyone, go on to Netflix, watch Nailed It. It is the funniest show I think I've ever seen. Ever. You talk about the worst bakers of all time. That's it. So you guys keep listening. We'll keep bringing in a new content every week. So just come on back.
In the future, at this point, we are futuristic on this show.
Rivalry week wrap up. Rivalry week wrap up. Rivalry week wrap up.